Calgary Flames fans, it's time for Flames Unfiltered. Entertaining and controversial hockey talk with your host, Brad Berube.
New sheriff in town, and things are going to change in Calgary. Buckle up, Flames fans. Good evening and welcome to Flames Unfiltered, episode number 92. Recording this one on March 11th, 2021. And sorry for the delay on the pod this week. Usually we release it a day earlier than we are this week. Had a little bit of equipment problems that I had to rectify with a new cord quickly. And so it's going to be a weird episode. It's been a crazy week. Crazy week for me with everything going on, and a crazy week in Calgary with the firing of a coach and a new coach. And many of us, including myself, got our wish, and with it came some surprises and some good things. So hopefully starting tonight, things can change in Calgary, and we can get on a little bit of a run and try to fight our way back into a playoff race, which is going to be damn hard to do, but still possible. Accountability, that's been the word of the week you're hearing in Calgary, and I love it, because maybe we need more accountability in the whole world, huh? I think so. We're living in a world today where everybody's like, well, it's not my fault, it's their fault. And I think that holds true in the Calgary Flames locker room. It's not my fault that he didn't get the puck in. Not my fault. I'm doing my job. Well, are you doing your job? I don't know. I think we've had some fake accountability in this locker room. But their actions haven't showed what their words are saying. So hopefully we see all-out, full-out accountability. And with that, I think we'll come wins. Another word this week is reaction. How are some of the players going to react to a coach like Daryl Sutter, who is demanding and will hold these guys accountable? I don't know. It's going to be interesting. We're going to talk about it in the show a little bit today. It's going to be a fun ride. I think this is going to be very interesting and very telling on what happens in the next decade in Calgary. Big thanks goes out to some of our sponsors, ShopNHL.com, Spark Hydrate, KT Tape, Fanatics, Riders Eyewear, AccuScore. Yeah, they're all a big part of the show, and we appreciate each and every one of them. On today's episode, this is going to be a big episode, but maybe a little quicker than some of our other episodes, because we don't have a guest this week. We hope to next week, but this week we don't, so you're stuck with me for the next 30, 40 minutes. We'll see how this one goes. We'll recap the Ottawa games, and we'll also talk about the Battle of Alberta that we had last week. And then we will roll on to the big news, the firing of Jeff Ward and the hiring of Daryl Sutter, how it all went down, how the players will thrive in the new environment, how some won't thrive in the new environment, roll on into some Flames news, news from the North, a listener question, and we'll wrap with a quick preview of the home and home, or excuse me, not the home and home, the home two-game set with the Habs. And touch on a little bit of next week's Battle of Alberta. Thanks for listening to Flames Unfiltered. And please tell your fellow Flames fans about this show and get them on and get them listening and get them active on Flames Unfiltered. All right, Flames fans, let's quickly recap some hockey from last week, because, man, it seems like we played Ottawa every single day. It drove me insane. I'm sick of watching the Ottawa Senators, and most of all, I'm sick of a crappy Ottawa Senators beating us, and there's nothing more that's frustrating than losing to a team that, you know damn well you should be beating every single night. Let's go roll back to the 4th of the month, and when Ottawa was in Calgary, and it was a big night. Big 7-3 win. Riddick versus Murray. Bennett scratched again. Big shocker there. Riddick, Dubé score right away. And really, honestly, the Flames are rolling and off and going there. Monahan and Lebo each scored in the first period also. And, yeah, solid first period, 4-1 after that. Murray gets the gate coming off of the second, and we see Decord again. And Murray was just awful. And I think Ottawa's going to hate that contract, man. They're going to hate it. I said right when they signed that thing, I'm like, oof. They're going to hate that one. But Flames are rolling, and they kept things rolling. Dubé finishes off and scores three and gets a hat trick, his first career hat trick. And a big Flames win 7-3. That's when things got a little bit wild and crazy on later in the night, and we'll talk about that later in the show. Saturday night was a Battle of Alberta as the Flames headed up to Edmonton as the Ottawa Senators sat in Calgary and waited for them on the Sunday night back-to-back. But anyways, back to that Battle of Alberta, Markstrom versus Smith. Bennett scratched again. I don't know why they were scratching him, but they always scratch him. Great first period, physical start. I love the Flames in the first period. Shots were 9-0 just over 4 minutes into the game, and I thought, holy cow, with Sutter in, boy, they're fired up and they're raring to go, and things are good. Kachuk fights Neal. It's 1-0 after the first, and I thought, man, it was so dominated by Calgary, I felt like we were a little slighted with only a 1-0 lead. Puljujärvi ties it in the second, 1-1, and I'm like, jeez, we're not going to get a point in this game. Hanifin scores in the third, and I thought the fourth line was downright amazing in the third period, and everything was just going Calgary's way, and we got a lead, and Kachuk takes a horrible, horrible charging penalty. I don't know why he does those behind the back checks all the time. That just seems so ineffective to me. McDavid scores. Pulls the Oilers ahead 3-2 as a McDavid show in the third period as the Oilers pretty much handled the Flames. And, yeah, great game, I thought, for the Flames. Sad that they let things slip away. Sad that they let McDavid take over in the third period when they held him at bay the first two periods. And, hard effort gets you 0 points. And you can't afford to do that in this division. It is so, so, so tight. One news and note from that period or that game, Kyler Yamamoto was fined $3,854.17, the maximum allowed amount of the CBA. I don't know how that's figured out. I should figure out how that is. I should know that. On a slew foot to Rasmus Anderson, which I thought was plain despicable and dirty. And I hope this Flames team doesn't forget that dirty move. Because I'm telling you right now, Kachuk does that to one of Edmonton's defensemen. We're still talking about it today. We would be. We'd still be talking about it today. But, you know, it's a guy like Yamamoto, so it just goes by the wayside. No suspension, no nothing. God, it's frustrating. Second night of a back-to-back, Ottawa in Calgary, Sunday night. And this one was not a good performance at all. Markstrom versus Murray. Flames get two power play chances right away. Cannot capitalize. The Sens score a horrible five-hole goal on Markstrom, lead 2-0 after one, and it didn't get much better in the second period. Geo did score and draw them within one. The Flames tie it late in the game on a Hanifin goal. You know, a couple notes on this one. Markstrom's playing the puck a lot more, and I noticed a couple chances. I mean, Valimaki had to save his bacon in this game, and he just seems a little uneasy with the puck. And I wonder if they need to maybe tame that just a little bit until he can get a little bit more comfortable and his confidence gets up a little bit more on it. Calgary outshoots the Sens in the third period 17-3 and dominates them. A really good third period from the Flames. But you know what? I'm going to liken it to my 15-year-old son, who I love very, very much, but you know how 15-year-old kids are. They let things get shitty and then try to get it all fixed in one day. I'm maybe relating to schoolwork, but you can relate that to this team on the ice. This team will just get lazy, make horrible plays, just selfish, lazy plays. And then they dig themselves a hole, and then they're like, well, crap, we should be beating the Ottawa Senators. We need these points. And now we're going to have to bust ass in the third period and try to win this in one period instead of just playing the whole game solid and winning it handily. This team frustrates me, man. It's called panic work. They only work hard when it's panic and they have to, or they know it's hell or high water. That's not what good hockey teams do. It's just not. No goals in overtime. Ottawa ends up winning this one 4-3 in a shootout. And yeah, hopefully, well, we're not done with the Ottawa Senators. I wish we would be, because you'd think that'd be two easy points, but for some reason, this team can't beat the Ottawa Senators. All right, it's time to talk about what we've all been waiting for. So I'm going to tell you a little story on how it went down for me. So Calgary beats Ottawa 7-3. We have a hot mic game of the week that week. So I'm talking with Flames fans the whole game. I'm enjoying that. The game gets over. I get my equipment put away, getting everything picked up. I'm listening to the 960, listening to the post game show. Everything seems to be going fine. Everybody's happy, wondering why Calgary can't put out efforts and win games 7-3 over crappy opponents like they did that night, and why they keep letting points slip away from Ottawa when on this night it seems so easy. So we're going and going, and all of a sudden Pat Steinberg cuts to break, and it just seemed awkward the way he cut to break. I look at my phone. I don't know why I looked at my phone. I had just laid down in bed to go to sleep, and I had my headphones, my AirPods in, and I was just going to listen to it as I laid in bed. And I see a tweet that says, Jeff Ward fired, Daryl Sutter in as coach of the Flames. I'm not going to lie. I did a Twitter triple take. I'm like, this is verified. What is going on? And then, of course, the guys from 960 come back on after the commercial break and break the news. Now, I'm not so shocked that Jeff Ward got let go, because I've been screaming about him getting let go for weeks. But to see Daryl Sutter's name shocked me. While I'm laying in bed, my wife is laying next to me sleeping, and I'm trying to be quiet. My phone is just going off of the hook, just bing, 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 just text and tweet one after another, wanting my take, wanting my opinion, or my friends asking me what my thoughts were, what was going on. I was shocked. One of my good buddies texted me and said, yeah, this is going to be in my gut says, a short-term thing. We'll finish out this year, and they're using him to get a temp on this team and see what's going on with this team. And then news comes out. He was wrong. He's wrong a lot. News comes out that it's a 3-year deal, 2 more years after this year, so 2 in a partial year. And I was ecstatic. And here's why I was ecstatic. I was ecstatic because I know what we're getting with Daryl Sutter. I'm an old school hockey guy. I believe in hard work. I believe in you earn your chances. I believe in you play for the team, you don't play for yourself. And I believe that those are the things that'll get you to winning the Stanley Cup. Well, we haven't seen that in Calgary. We've seen anything but that. And we had a coach who, I hate to rip on Jeff Ward, but being on the outside, so we're not inside right now with COVID and everything, but like, he came off to me like it was a country club atmosphere. Like, he was trying to be friends with the players instead of holding them accountable. And if you look at the history of this core, when Hartley was here, he was a coach that was a hard ass that held accountability. The team did well. Gullitson was more of a player's coach. Team didn't do so well. Bill Peters comes in, more of a little bit more of a hard, not all the way, but kind of an in-betweener. And the team did okay. Jeff Ward comes in, and as his tenure went on in Calgary, his wins diminished, and his production level from his stars diminished. Quite honestly, his production level of everybody diminished. So when I heard Sutter, I thought, I know what I'm getting. I know what I like. I know what I dislike. But I do know one thing. We're going to get two things on the hiring of Daryl Sutter. We're going to get a guy that's extremely passionate about what he does, a guy that has a proven track record, a guy that I would consider an elite NHL coach, a coach that I did not expect to come back. I thought he was done. I didn't think he wanted to coach anymore. I thought he was happy on the farm up in Viking. I thought that he had won what he wanted to win. And then I heard that he had considered two head coaching roles, and that Chicago and Calgary, that's the only ones he'd even leave his consulting job at Anaheim to even entertain. Now, Sutter's 62. He's old school, so a lot of people, right, initially said, well, will he be able to handle the changes of this league and adapting to the way players are now? Well, if you look at some of the teams that the coaches are player-friendly coaches, oftentimes they don't succeed. If you talk to ex-players, many of them say their best coaches were the people or the coaches. Their best times of their career were with coaches that intimidated them and pushed them to be the best they could be. That's what Daryl Sutter brings to the Calgary Flames. And isn't that exactly what we need with this core? An underachieving, inconsistent, and a core that we've, I don't know how many times, questioned their work ethic. In a professional sport, should we be questioning their work ethic? I don't think we'll do that with Daryl Sutter, because one of two things will happen. Either this group will get going and they'll buy in and they'll gel and they'll work hard. The wins will come more consistently, and no, probably won't win a Stanley Cup. Maybe, but that's not my expectation. Or another thing will come. The inconsistency will continue. The buy-in won't be there. The work ethic won't be Sutter-esque. Is that a word? No, but we're going to use it. And then Daryl Sutter will be able to look Brad Treliving in the eye and say, this guy's not a winner, he needs to go. This guy's not a winner, he needs to go. This guy's not a winner, he needs to go. And we can make progress in Calgary. So is Sutter going to save the day? Probably not. But he might save the decade. And what I mean by that is by him demanding excellence and seeing who gives that and who doesn't give that, we're going to learn what members of the core need to stay and what members of the core need to go. And isn't that what we really want in Calgary? Is to know really where we stand instead of muddling in the mushy middle like we've been doing for the last 5, 6, 7 years, telling ourselves that we're better than we are, telling ourselves that just pure talent and, boy, we look good on paper, is going to equal wins in the win column. That's what Daryl Sutter brings to this team. Now, Daryl Sutter went on in the media to talk very highly of this team. He likes the net minding, likes the back end, and he likes the depth up the middle. This is going to be an interesting go-around, but we're going to learn which members of the core are here to win and which ones are here to collect a paycheck. And I'm afraid those are going to be on a bus out of Calgary come end of the season. So with the news of Daryl Sutter, everybody said, well, how are the players going to react? This is many of their fifth coach in 6 years, which is pathetic. And no, I'm not blaming their crappiness earlier this year just solely on Jeff Ward. But it's his job to get them to work hard, right? And that didn't happen. So when you think about the players, the first one that comes to mind the most is Bennett. What happens with Sam Bennett? Does Bennett thrive with Sutter and pull back his trade request? And are things going to be roses with Sam Bennett in Calgary? Well, I don't know. And I don't really know what my gut tells me on this one. I do know this. I do know that he's going to get the opportunity for some stability. And he's going to be told black and white what the expectations are of him and what he needs to do to meet those expectations. And honestly, I think that's exactly what Sam Bennett needs. Now, he may not like what Daryl Sutter says and may want to just bolt. And that's fine. Then Sam goes and we'll be fine. But if somehow Daryl Sutter and Sam Bennett can see eye to eye on this, I think good things could come. If he accepts his role as maybe a third line winger or fourth line winger and works hard every single shift and gets playing time, which Sutter traditionally gives third and fourth lines, Sam Bennett's going to thrive. But this one's in his court. It's how he reacts to what Sutter tells him. Now, another one that gives me the iffies on this one is Johnny Gaudreau. He's one that I'm like, man, I'm not so sure that this is going to work. I'm not so sure that relationship's going to work. And of all the people on the team, that's the one I question the most. Now, Daryl Sutter knows Johnny Gaudreau is not going to be a physical presence. Daryl Sutter knows that Johnny Gaudreau is not going to be the one winning all the battles in the corners. But what I think Daryl Sutter is going to be upset about is the complete lack of effort and oftentimes the one hand fishes with the stick when he's on a one-on-one battle. Johnny Gaudreau has always used the excuse of, well, I'm one of the smallest players in the league. I'm not going to win that one-on-one battle. You know what, Johnny? You might not. But you might want to put two hands on the stick and try to take the puck away. I don't know how this one's going to go. If I had to place my money on this one, I don't think this one goes that well. The other one that many people question is Sean Monahan. I don't think Sean Monahan's ever going to be what we've all dreamt of him being, a first-line center in the National Hockey League that controls play. Instead, we've spent the last 2 years trying to shelter him, and that's not good. I think Daryl Sutter is going to be very, very blunt with Sean Monahan. I think Sean Monahan's going to know his role, just like the other guys are going to. But for some reason, I don't really know why. I think this one might turn out good. Now, is Sean Monahan going to be a prolific scorer? No. But I think Sutter's going to clearly define his expectations. And I think Monahan is going to be on board. I might be wrong on this one, but my gut's what my gut's telling me. Now, Matthew Tkachuk. People aren't saying much about this one because they all think, well, Tkachuk's hard nosed, Tkachuk's a hard worker. That's exactly what Sutter's going to like. You're probably right. But we've seen some cracks in Tkachuk's armor the last 2 years. Giving up on some plays, kind of having a pouty attitude if it doesn't go his way. We saw it last game. Tkachuk is very streaky. And when Tkachuk is engaged, Tkachuk is good. Now, I fully believe that Sutter's going to give him the full engaged speech quite frequently. And is going to want him to walk that line we always talk about with Matthew Tkachuk. But is Matthew Tkachuk still that young fiery kid he was 3 years ago in this league? I hope so. I think he can get it back. But we sure haven't seen it this year. And I just wonder if there isn't something more wrong with Matthew Tkachuk. I do think another thing that's going to happen is Sutter's going to put a stop to these jumping, turning checks that Tkachuk always does and teach him to drive his body into them. Tkachuk's a big man. Drive your body into them. Quit doing these flip roll-off checks. I don't like it. I don't like those checks. On a side note, I think there's going to be some guys that really thrive. The fourth line guys, Levo, Richie, Ryan, Nordstrom, all those guys will benefit. I think Valimaki will benefit. I don't know why I say that one. My gut just tells me that. But here's why those fourth line wingers and centers that I talked about are going to thrive. If you look back to Daryl Sutter's time in LA when he was winning cups, he did it with four lines. His fourth line averaged 8-plus minutes throughout the playoffs in every game. He knows what this league's about. He knows that you wear teams down by rolling four lines on a consistent nightly basis. And that's how you're going to move up the standings in this North Division, is by wearing teams down and going at them on a consistent basis every single night. Those guys are going to get minutes. And if they use those minutes correctly, the door's open for them to just be loved by Sutter. I look for Derek Ryan. He's a perfect guy that Sutter's going to love. See what happens. I just see big things from those guys. When Sutter was interviewed earlier in the week, he said, "Deep down, I believe it's a good hockey club. And Brad made moves in the offseason after the bubble to bring in a good goalie, as there is bringing a good goalie as there is in the NHL in Jacob Markstrom, and bringing a top defenseman such as Chris Tanev. I think this team is as good an opportunity as anybody to make the playoffs and do well in the playoffs." I know many of you will say, well, he has to say that because he's coaching the team now. Well, it would have been easy to say, well, this guy, you know, this group's struggling and showing inconsistency, and I hope I can pull that out of it. He's right. This team has got a pretty solid defensive core and has elite goaltending. And with elite goaltending and hard work and playing hockey the right way, the Sutter way, good things can happen. Now, some players are going to thrive and some are not. But remember what we said in segment one. We are going to learn about this core. And if it doesn't get us a playoff run this year, oh, it's going to lead to the moves that may just in the years to come.
Inside Edge Hockey News. Dropping the gloves. And stirring the pot.
All right, Flames fans, rolling on. Let's cruise through a little bit of Flames news. Derek Ryan comes off injury, placed on waivers, clears waivers. We knew that was going to happen. That was a formality. Derek Simone placed on waivers last Friday and cleared. Also, Glenn Godden sent to the American Hockey League in Stockton. The Stockton Heat. Let's talk about the Stockton Heat. 7 in a row as they won last night. They're currently in first place in the Canadian Division. 7-2. 9 games played. They play again tonight. Prospect Adam Ruzicka now sits 3rd in the American Hockey League with 7 goals, 5 assists, 12 points, which is crazy because that Heat team has played a lot less games than a lot of other teams, and he sits 3 points back of the league leader, but has played 5 less games. That is great to see him having a real productive year. And who knows, we may see him up with the big club later this year, depending on how things go. The Michael Backlund family welcomed a baby boy yesterday, March 10th. We congratulate Michael and his family. Injuries around the team, well, there hasn't been a ton of them, and there hasn't been any major, major injuries. Sam Bennett missed Monday's practice. Maintenance injuries. He should be good to go as he's scheduled to be in the lineup Thursday evening against the Montreal Canadiens. Joachim Nordstrom is out. He is the only player right now that is out with injury. He is on a week-to-week basis. A lower body injury after blocking a shot. Yeah, it did not look pretty. It looked like it hurt like hell, didn't it? Oof. Oh, you don't like seeing those things. Rolling on. Here's something that'll get a lot of you fired up. It will. It'll get you fired up. I was reading the hockey news the other day, and they rated all 31 retro, reverse retro jerseys. And guess where Calgary was? Yeah. 29th out of 31. No respect for Blasty. And sadly, you know, and I agree, I don't like the Blasty jersey. I don't like the black. I love the new red and white, or the new red and white retros we're wearing as normal jerseys now. They are nice, and they remind me of the good old days when we hoisted the cup back in 89. Time for a little look at in the division standings currently as we sit today. What day is today? Thursday afternoon. Toronto, 38 points. They lead by 4 over Edmonton. Edmonton sits at 34. In second, Winnipeg in third, 31 points. Montreal, our opponent tonight, sits in fourth at 31. What is it? 5 back of them. Vancouver sits at 26. 6 back. Calgary at 25. We currently sit in sixth place. We do have a higher win percentage, though, than Vancouver, as they have played the most games of anybody in the division. 30. Calgary sits at 26. Ottawa sits at 19 points, creeping up on the Flames, but we do have three games in hand over them. Some news outside of the division, but will relate to us in a way. Bettman has confirmed in a press conference the division alignment will revert back to the normal division next season. And then the big news from the United States is the NHL has a new TV deal with ABC, ESPN, ESPN Plus, and Hulu, and Disney, which are all part of one conglomerate in the U.S. It's a 7-year television deal, streaming and media rights. Exclusive coverage of the Stanley Cup Finals on ABC in 4 of the 7 years. Half of the Stanley Cup playoffs on ABC and ESPN each season. 25 exclusive national regular season games on ABC and ESPN. 75 national regular season games exclusively streamed on ESPN Plus and Hulu. Out-of-market streaming package. Formerly NHL TV will be available only as part of the ESPN Plus subscription, which I'm really interested to see how that goes, because that NHL TV is amazing. I'm really interested to see how that goes. And if that's more difficult and less user friendly, and, will we get it, with the I think it's $5 for ESPN Plus. And obviously in Canada, we're not going to be able to get that. We're still going to be pulling the Rogers package, but, will those fans get all the games? Will they get the games from the Canadian teams, and how will that affect the viewing in the U.S.? The fact of the matter is, if you're going to be relevant in sports in the U.S., you pretty much have to be on ESPN. And after a long absence, the NHL will be again. Now, the first go around didn't go and sit well with a lot of U.S. fans, as they felt like the NHL played second fiddle to a lot of smaller sports. And hopefully this time the NHL gets top seeding, but we'll see how that all plays out in the United States. Listener question of the week, and this is a good question. The question is, was Jeff Ward given a fair shot in Calgary? Yeah, I think he was. This team was in a win now mode when he was hired. Now he took over on last year in some crazy weird circumstances and did a fairly good job. I still say his putting Riddick in the playoffs in game 6 against Dallas was the biggest coaching blunder in Flames history. So chalk that one up to Jeff Ward. But the NHL is results based, and we aren't getting results with Jeff Ward. I fear that he was too much of a friend to the players and not enough of, I don't want to say disciplinarian, but, I believe a head coach in the National Hockey League to be successful has to hold their players accountable. And I don't know that Jeff Ward held his players to the same accountability as we're going to get from a Daryl Sutter. My biggest frustration with Jeff Ward, the constant line shuffling. Did he think he was going to find some magical elixir line that's just going to be like, poof, there it is. Now we're winning hockey games. You've got to let these guys grow together a little bit. You got to let them work together. But now I can be done complaining about Jeff Ward. I'm sure he's a very, very nice man. I haven't got the opportunity to meet him. But he definitely wasn't the right man for the job. I think he was the right price tag for the job, and I think he was the easy hire. And when you easy hire, you don't get the results that a fan base and a franchise deserves.
Get all your Flames Unfiltered podcasts, team news, team updates, and highlights at flamesunfiltered.com.
All right, time to... All right, now we're going. That was a blunder on my part, huh? Time to do the game previews as we look ahead to Montreal coming into Calgary. It happens Thursday night, the 11th. Later on this evening, the Montreal Canadiens come in for a two-game set, a Thursday-Saturday battle. Montreal sits just ahead of the Calgary Flames, actually two spots ahead of the Calgary Flames in the final playoff spot, but only 6 points back of the Flames. Four critical points on the line as we'll... The probable starters for tonight are Allen and Markstrom. Daryl Sutter's first game behind the bench, and that'll be very, very interesting to see how that all pans out. That two-game set continues with the early game on Hockey Night in Canada next Saturday night, the 13th. Another one at the Saddle Dome, and then Monday night after a day off on Sunday, it's time for the Battle of Alberta again. Edmonton in Calgary, and that'll be a good one as the Battle of Alberta with Sutter. Yeah, that just adds a little bit more gasoline to the fire. Hot mic game of the week. What the heck is a hot mic game of the week? Well, every week on Flames Unfiltered here, we do what's called the hot mic game of the week. And that is, it is a Flames watch party hosted by me. We talk Calgary Flames hockey. We complain, we bitch, we cheer, and we talk about the team we love so much. It's great fan interaction. We give away some great prizes, and it's easy and it's free. The next game we're doing is March 17th versus Edmonton, a Wednesday night. So grab your phone, grab your iPad, grab your Android device, and you need to download the Hot Mic app. Set it up. It's free. It takes 2 minutes. Don't think it's going to take all day. It's very, very, very easy to do. And then you join the Flames group. And you'll see that we're set up to do next Wednesday night's Edmonton Oilers game. You click on that when the game time starts. You go on, and then we're going to, you talk. You have fun. We interact. We give away hockey cards every night. We give away an Upper Deck Flames card set every night. And then we also give away, we're giving away a Blasty jersey. Well, how the heck do you win the Blasty jersey? Well, you connect with Flames Unfiltered on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. You join that hot mic party next Wednesday night. You pick the Flames' first goal scorer. And if you get it, you're entered in an end-of-the-year contest for a Blasty jersey. We're doing 14 of these hot mics this year, and there'll be 14 chances to win a Blasty jersey. A lot of fun so far, and that carries on next Wednesday night with night two of the Battle of Alberta. Another episode in the books. Yeah, it was good. A lot of Daryl Sutter talk. That's all we've heard in Calgary this whole week. Man, oh man. This guy coming in. Is he our savior? Here's a positive note. Daryl Sutter's son, Chris Sutter, says he has been practicing Johnny Cash's Ring of Fire. He believes he started that, and he believes that he's the one that can get 20,000 people to stand up and sing it. Whenever they can come back, of course, he'll be leading the charge. And you know what? I want to see him singing that so bad. And I also want to see 20,000 people back in the Saddle Dome. How fun would that be, Flames fans? We need that. We need it. We need the healing to continue. Next week, we're hoping for a little bit of Battle of Alberta roundtable talk with the boys from Oil Country Podcast on the show. So that was a blast. Get sitting back, talk a little bit of Flames Oilers with them. Thanks to all our listeners. We truly appreciate it. Follow us on all social medias at Flames Unfiltered. Subscribe on YouTube at Inside Edge Hockey News. Get on over to Apple Podcasts. Rate, review us. Give us a 5-star. It helps us out. We appreciate it. It was a wild week in Calgary. Hopefully this week is wild with wins. Have a good week, Flames fans.
get connected, Flames Unfiltered can be found on Twitter, at Flame Unfiltered. And also make sure you check out our Facebook page, at Flames Unfiltered. Check out host Brad Brood on Twitter, at Brad Brood. And if you like what you hear, rate and review us on Apple Podcasts. You can find Flames Unfiltered on all the major podcast players. And consider subscribing to Inside Edge Hockey News on Patreon. That'll get you exclusive content and much more. Thanks again, and enjoy the hockey action.
Playoff! Yeah, baby! Playoff! Yeah, baby!
Thanks for tuning in to Flames Unfiltered. Check back for more action-packed Calgary Flames talk. This has been a production of Inside Edge Hockey News Radio, copyrighted and distributed by the Inside Edge Hockey Media Group.